Evening. All right, let's turn on over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, and we will be closing out this chapter today. And actually, I actually was intending to close it out last week, but we didn't. So we're closing it out this week, but it's going to be over really quickly. So then actually, I hope you guys brought your Bibles, because we're going to do a little trivia. And I'm curious, how many of y'all were here for the last trivia that I got to do over with James? It was a while back. I don't think I'm going to do the same style I did then, because I had it split. You know, one side was one team, and then the other side was the other team. And then I might have written on the board the score and see which side did better. I don't know. We might not do that today. But this is actually going to tie really well with what we're talking about in Hebrews. So we're in Hebrews 5. Let's start in verse 8 and go through the rest of the chapter. I got to get there real quick, though. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Okay, so remember the Hebrews is written to the Jewish Christians, right? It's written to people with this background, and they've had a hard time, right? The Jewish Christian would have a tremendously hard time when they would come into the body, the kingdom of Christ, because there would be a tremendous amount of pressure from their family, from everybody on the outside, the whole system that they left behind. And the example that we've looked at before, just briefly, is the Mormons, right? There's some places in Utah, and I've looked into the numbers. It's well over 60% Mormon. Some places, some towns are like almost 100% Mormon. Imagine being in a scenario, I mean, this is not exactly like that, but imagine being in a scenario where at least your inner circle is predominantly Mormon. The neighborhood you grew up with, you know, the people you all grew up with were all of the Mormon belief, and then you decide to walk away from that. You're basically giving up so much, and you're also giving up something that you knew was, you know, basically going to help you out in the future, and your family is kind of letting you go, right? So a Jewish Christian is going to be giving up a tremendous amount when they come to Christ. But it's okay, right? Because the writer of Hebrews tells them, he says it doesn't really matter. Those things, all the things from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that whole system, those things were just a foreshadow. Those things were to be fulfilled ultimately in Christ. Also, we mentioned that in 70 AD, what's going to happen in 70 AD? Yeah, the destruction of the temple, Jerusalem really is just going to get raided, and it's going to be destroyed. And so really everything that Judaism was being represented by is going to be destroyed. So a lot of these people need to get through their head that is not where God was intending to end up at. It was the faith of Christ. And that this is going to be really encouraging, because if you really think about it and you go back and you look through the whole Old Testament, there's lots of flaws. There's lots of things that, and this is what Hebrews says in chapter 5. In verse 2, he talks about even the high priest. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. Even the high priest was beset with weakness. The one thing that we'll actually find out later in Hebrews is that the law could not make somebody perfect. It could never actually perfect somebody. It could not actually bring them a perfect conscience. And we are the ones, through our love and through the law of Christ, we are the ones who can actually fulfill the law. They couldn't. So it really was, God is moving them away from that. A little bit of a backtracking there, but he's writing to people and he's telling them, he's kind of jumping on their case a little bit. He's kind of getting on to these people a little bit here. And so this is where we left off last week. Do you guys remember what the dull of hearing meant in verse 11? Dull of hearing. He says, concerning Melchizedek, we have a lot to say. It's hard to explain because you've become dull of hearing. The dull of hearing, there's a few different things you could answer with, but really means lazy. Lazy. Sluggish. Basically, somebody who is just not really feeling it, they're not listening, and they have become sluggish. They're not keeping up to the pace that they should be, really. And that's not because God was talking too fast throughout the Old Testament. It was really because they were just not, they were the ones. They were becoming lazy in the way they approached the Scripture. They were becoming lazy in the way that they would maybe even listen to the apostles' teaching. They were becoming lazy. And when somebody becomes lazy, they really have a tendency to not excel as much as they should, right? I'm a first-hand example of this. I know that. I get sluggish of hearing sometimes when my wife's trying to tell me stuff. And she tells me, you have become dull of hearing, you know. And we need to be continually pushing ourselves and to be diligent towards the Word of God. So we kind of talked about that last week. But by this time, you ought to be teachers, he tells them. He's telling these people, you should be teachers by now. It's not, you know, you shouldn't be basically a baby. And you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, one of the things I thought was interesting going through this is that he tells them that they need milk. He says you guys need milk. You have got to the point where you actually need the milk. So, obviously, I don't want to just belabor this because this is very straightforward. Lots of this is not really that complicated. And I know I've used my son a lot as an example. But Ace is a great example. He needs milk, right? What are things that need milk are generally not mature. That's what he's basically saying. He says, if you need milk, then you're probably a baby. And that's what they realize, he's been realizing or telling them and hoping that they'll realize about themselves. And if they're honest with themselves, they're like, we can't even comprehend some of the stuff that he's throwing at us. And then he tells them, well, that's because you still need the milk. So if you still need the milk, and again, hopefully I'm not stepping on your toes too much, but if you still need the milk, then maybe that's an indicator of where you're at spiritually. That's what he's telling them. And everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. He confirms that. As I was mentioning with my son Asa, he's not a big proponent of eating. He's almost 10 months old, and he still doesn't really like solid foods that much. He has a hard time with food. I don't really know how to explain it, but for like with the first 7-8 months, he would not take even applesauce. Like, he just did not want. He didn't like the texture or something. I don't know if he just doesn't like change a lot. I'm not exactly sure. But then the other day we gave him chicken. We cut it into little tiny pieces where he can like pick it up with his little fingers and, you know, play with it for 10 minutes and then put half of it in there. And he finally puts it in and he knows what he's supposed to do because he's watching us eat. He sees us and, you know, I started chewing with my mouth open, which my wife would never let me do that normally, but there's a kid, so I can do that. And then he started opening and closing his mouth a lot. It was really cute, but he was not good at it at all, and like half of it would come out half of the time. And he needed milk. He needs milk to keep him alive, right? And my wife says he's just like his dad in that way, but I can't eat very well. It just gets all over myself. So, yeah, he says that you guys, you can't handle the solid food. It's really the thing. It's like a baby. It's not that you just, it's not like milk and meat are part of your diet. What he's telling them is he's saying, you can't even handle the solid food. It's like I gave you the solid food, and because of your inexperience, which we're going to take a look at in a second, he says it's because of your inexperience with the solid food. That's the problem. And so when I give, and I drank a glass of milk today. It was, you know, pulled it out of the fridge, got some milk, and then I had chicken as well. I can handle both of that. Both of those I'm experienced with eating, and I can also drink milk. For my son, it's only one-sided, though. He cannot eat solid food. He's not experienced, and he's learning. He's gaining that experience. So what the writer of Hebrews is telling them, he's saying, it's not that you guys, you know, you guys have a little bit of both, or you can, you know, eat food and drink milk. He said, you can only do one, and the only one you can really handle is the milk. You can't even handle the solid food. So it's like being a baby. Again, we need to long for the pure milk of the word, Peter writes. Obviously, that's more of the sense of the idea of Peter is writing to a lot of new Christians, and he's really telling them, hey, go back to the purity and the goodness of the Word of God. But here in verse 13, so he says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. The word there for not accustomed to also can mean something else. It means inexperience. So I think actually literal says that, but the one who only drinks milk is inexperienced to the word of righteousness. Now you see why I was kind of mentioning my son being inexperienced with solid food. What are the people inexperienced with? They haven't taken the time to become experienced with something very important, and it's the word of righteousness. They're not experienced with the word of righteousness. They are babes in Christ. And this is where a lot of this is really important, because there seems to be this correlation between understanding the word of God and being righteous. There's a correlation between those two. You know, it's not like somebody just is a super nice person. You know, they always are really easy to work around. They're a really good person, right? But they have no recollection of the Word of God, right? They don't know anything about the Bible. That is not being righteous, though. The righteousness comes through ultimately your ability to be experienced with the Word of God, and then to apply it. And so in verse 14, he says, solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So the mature person is the person who has practiced what they have experienced through the word of righteousness, and because of that, they have had their senses trained to discern what is good and what is evil, which is really, really cool. Larry?
It's a great point you bring out, because practice, you know, that means I have to put forth effort. And we live in a day and age where people don't like to put forth effort. So I'm curious, what's some practical examples? What do you think he's talking about practicing to have our senses trained? How do I practice keeping my senses trained? You know, I can read the scriptures, but, you know, a lot of people do that. But so how do you actually practice?
Well, I think first and foremost, it has to be with being experienced in the Word. So, and in particular, what he's talking about here is kind of a knowledge, in the sense of they have not spent the time to actually work through the Scripture on their own and to actually come to a true knowledge and to actually let it form and shape their life. And then also, I was thinking about prayer. So if you're going through the Scripture and you're you know, you're just reading through it because you know you're supposed to, or you're just memorizing it because you're on a group plan or whatever, but you're not actually praying through it, and you're not actually applying whatever it is. I mean, I just read the other day, yesterday, and it was talking about wealth, and wealth comes from a father. It's an inherited thing, but it said that a prudent wife is from the Lord, and that was just really powerful to me because I know that my wife is a gift to me, and so that will change the way that I start to interact with her. That's kind of where I think he's going. Ultimately, what he's trying to do is he's trying to help them understand that there are more spiritual things than just the basic stuff, and so they're getting caught up on they just know the basics, and then they're not actually allowing themselves to grow and to mature. And so he's telling them, because where he's going to go from here and this point on in Hebrews is going to be, he's going to be pushing some stuff like Melchizedek. He's going to be going over the foreshadowing of the law. I've been kind of already stepping into those waters with the sacrificial system and everything, but he's going to actually lay all of that out. And so when we go throughout the scripture, are we allowing it to really work on us and to actually put it into practice, to become experienced? And like I said, that's where, even if you're looking through Leviticus, you're going through a lot of the Old Testament stuff, if you are actually reading with the intent to understand it and to see what God is really trying to communicate through that, and you gain experience through those Old Testament writing as well, I think that's where you're really practicing it and you're going to grow through that process. But yeah, all of it as a whole, collectively, and then also praying through it. Dave, did you have a comment?
Yeah, you pretty much touched on it. The way I've always looked at it is because of the practice, because of putting into action what they're reading and, you know, following through with it.
Yeah. And these are kind of intertwined, you know. You can kind of see the multi-level. God works very powerfully through the scripture.
I'll throw another log on the fire.
Yeah.
So I'll go back to verse 7. Think of Romans 8, Kevin. In the days of his flesh, we're no longer in the flesh if we have the Spirit of Christ, right? So we offer up prayers and supplications like he does. You know, that's a discipline. He was heard because of his piety. So, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. So, I guess, you know, our prayers are heard because of Christ, but, you know, we revere God, and he did too. And so, I think that how we get a really good grip on this is suffering for the sake of doing the right thing. And I guess that's where peace surpasses comprehension. I mean, we've got to be okay with a little bit of suffering. James 1 says, let not many of you become teachers, as such will incur a stricter judgment. Well, we know that judgment starts with who? Yeah. So if we start doing this, and obedience, faith is obedience, belief is obeying, that's where the rubber of spirituality really meets the road. And I think that's where we also, in addition to what was already said, where we really truly learn, you know, accustomed to the word of righteousness. You know, God wants us to be complete. He actually calls, that's perfect, is complete. You know, it's not without stain. Well, it is actually, I guess, without stain, because if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing when we're supposed to be doing it, and we make mistakes, you know, then God's grace and Jesus' blood is there to help us set the road right again, so that we can keep moving forward and growing and becoming more accustomed to the more mature food. Yeah. So, you know, I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, I like also the James also does say, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So the word of righteousness being practiced in it. First and foremost, what I think is really the big thing that we have to understand from this is that you have to be in the scripture, first and foremost. And that is probably the most important thing to really get from this. The person who is in the scripture and they are actually becoming experienced with the scripture and they are allowing it to form their lives, if they put in that work and they try to learn the things that are more meaty, the meaty parts of the scripture, not just the elementary things, which he's going to talk about in the beginning of chapter 6. If you're in the scripture, one or two things is going to happen. You're either going to get bored and stop, or you're going to keep pushing yourself, and you're going to force yourself to understand what it says. That's what how I think it works out a lot of times. And so if you're keeping pushing yourself in the scripture, and if you do find yourself getting on the border of being bored and just saying, man, this is just the same stuff I've been reading, either you're just going to start clocking out, or you're going to just be like, I better start making better time of my reading and just start figuring out what he's actually talking about. And the person who is experienced with the scripture will become more, they're more experienced and they will be able to practice it. They will be able to apply it better to their lives. You can't look into we are receiving, reflecting the glory of God. You can't look into this ministry here of Christ and not be transformed. And James does even say something about that as well, right? We look into the mirror. What do we see in the scripture? If you're allowing it to change you, you will be conformed to the image of Christ. But yeah, that's what he's saying here. Solid food, the meaty stuff of the scripture. Because to be honest, the milk stuff, the basics of Christianity, I wish I could say you could find anywhere in any church, but that's even hard now. But the basics of Christianity, most of us know that, right? That's why we're here. You guys are not coming here so I can just tell you how you become a Christian and just the basic stuff, right? So that's where he's telling them to push on just from I don't want to say superficial, but he's telling them to press on, as he says, from the elementary things. And the way that you do that is we keep going back into the Word and we allow ourselves to learn from the deeper stuff. We apply those things. We learn from those principles.
That's really a great point, you know, and I think over time, you know, even churches of Christ, sometimes it's gotten lost. It's Assembly of the Saints, because yeah, you're supposed to teach the mature things, but a lot of times what keeps being said, and it's not that's not important, is, you know, that your sins are forgiven and that you have a new life and they just kind of keep putting that one in there, which is really important, that we have a new life in Christ Jesus. But what does that life really pertain, the details? And I think that's what he's kind of bringing out here. That's what the mature mind, you know, needs to understand. And so, you know, it's not surprising when that doesn't get taught, when people are just in the same message over and over, that people, well, they tune out because they get bored. They've heard the same message over and over. Dull of hearing, right. Exactly right. And why? Because it's the milk over and over and over. It's like, okay, I can't grow. So you're bringing out a great point and something that the churches really need to make sure they're pushing forward on.
Yeah, and then we'll kind of take a look at the end here. But the person who is mature, that is that from the teleos word as well, just for those who are interested. Solid food is for mature, who because of practice, you know, their experience, remember that's the idea, their experience with the word. The mature people are looking at Melchizedek and they are experienced with this concept of Melchizedek. Because this is the very immediate context is, he said, he's talking about Melchizedek, and he said, I would go on and talk about him more, but some people are just not ready for that just yet. That's what he's basically saying. And that's the immediate context. He's talking about Melchizedek. And then he says, well, the mature people, they understand these things. They are experienced, is the idea. And it's because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And this is why I really like how he says that right there, because, again, this is kind of a tangent, but the conscience is not always a perfect guide. If you have a perfect conscience and you have allowed your conscience, you know, be trained by the scripture, you can use it. But the conscience is not always a perfect guide. Where do you think Paul had a good conscience towards God and what he thought when he was allowing people to be pulled out and to be killed? He was doing what he thought was right before God, right? Now, he didn't realize he had a conflict, and that's what Romans 7 talks about later that he was really dealing with, but he was doing what he thought was right with what he had. And that's why Jesus tells him later, he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He's like, "Okay, well, I was obviously wrong, definitely." We need our senses to be trained. It's not like you are just, one day you just have all the answers. You became a Christian, and you came up out of the water. You're a Christian now, and it's just, boom, you always know the right decision every second to make, right? Now, you should listen to your conscience. There's other parts of Scripture that talk about that. Don't go against your conscience is a whole other lesson. But we also need to have our senses trained to discern good and evil. And it's really through allowing ourselves to be receiving the glory of God continually, allowing the Scripture, the mirror, to be opened up. We look into the very face of Christ through His Scripture. When we see Christ in the Scripture, that is helping to train our senses. So again, all this ties in really well. If you're not in the Scripture, your senses are going to become dull. They're going to become duller and duller. But being in the Scripture, building that foundation, becoming experienced with the Word of righteousness, the mature, they have had their senses trained. They can start, and that's why people that are in the Scripture more might be more prone to have a better idea of what it might be good and evil. Because now they're not using man's logic, they're not using their own ability of reason and saying, "Well, I think this because somebody treated me like this when I was a kid." You know, and I'm not saying you shouldn't take personal examples in, but the person who has been rock solid in the Scripture and knows what the Scripture has to say and says, "This is what the Scripture says. Proverbs talks about that here, you know, this talks about that there," that is going to be a much better way to have our senses trained to discern good and evil. So that's really the close of chapter 5. Chapter 6 he's going to go into, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the elementary teachings, and then it's also going to get a little interesting, because remember, Hebrews talks about not falling away several times. And he does. It's not supposed to be just a scare tactic. It's more of a plea, like, "Hey, just realize it can happen. It can. You can drift away. You can fall away. It can happen." And chapter 6, we'll get there next time. So let's close with some questions, actually.